This is CliffCentral.com. Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, Lionel Makwokotlelo.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gary. Dumelang to our listeners, and good afternoon to our guest.
Our researcher today, Benji Scheinberg. Welcome, Benji.
Thank you, Gary. Hello, everybody.
He's in the hot seat joining us.
Our controller today is Simpiwe. Welcome, Simpi.
Hi.
Welcome on the team, Simpiwe. This is The Laws of Life. We don't bite. We are very friendly people.
We really are, Lines. Okay, so today we go back in time a little to the Oscar Pistorius trial that set off a media frenzy like never before. I think we all remember that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. For Valentine's Day, some years ago.
Yeah, it's 2014, I think.
Yeah, oh my
word. More than 3 years
ago. It was terrible.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
How time has flown. It's 3 years ago since that trial started, even a little more.
Oh, yeah.
I think all our listeners will remember having seen on TV the hundreds, if not thousands, of journalists and photographers that descended on our courts to cover the event.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, Pretoria was lit. Every photographer, every major news network was in Pretoria trying to really capture the moment. It was crazy.
Lance, one of those photographers was from the Star newspaper, and it's Dumisani Sibeko. And he's here with us today. Whilst covering the event, something really wicked happened to him, and he's going to tell us his story. Welcome to you, sir.
Good afternoon to Cliff Central listeners and everyone at home.
Cool. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to a lady who's going to be talking about a boy. And the reason she's talking about this boy, his name is Caden, and he has a rather rare genetic disorder known as Prader-Willi syndrome.
I wonder what that is.
Yeah, you'll hear all about it. It's very rare and it's very, very tragic. So one of the classic signs, Lions, that I know is that the person, and Benji will tell us more in detail, but there's a constant craving for food and rapid weight gain, and very often this leads to obesity.
Yes, just to add to that, basically the person with the syndrome, their brain doesn't register when they're full. So obviously they keep on eating, and it leads to diabetes and obesity. So it is a really sad and tragic case, but we'll get there.
We're going to be talking to Gillis Sachs from Cape Town. She cares very deeply about the plight of Caden and his family, and she knows a lot about it and the illness as well.
One is due to learn, I guess.
Yep. Our email address, law, L-A-W, at cliffcentral.com. Our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. Lion, do you want to give out the Twitter handle?
Oh, yes, at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. That's our Twitter handle. And if you really have any comments or you would like us to cover any particular story that you've got interest in, please do get in touch with us using the contact details that Mr. Gary Hertzberg has given us.
Ben, do you want to mention the WhatsApp number?
Yes, we've also got a WhatsApp telephone number. It's 0797482090. That's 0797482090. So get hold of us on that as well.
Dumisani Sibeko, you're a very accomplished photographer working for Independent Online. Well, you were at the time of the incident, which was 2014, and you were covering the spectacular event that was a court trial, Oscar Pistorius trial.
Yes, Gary.
The estimation of photographers and journalists at the time, what?
The number was very huge, like, because it attracted like journalists from abroad, like you mentioned, like BBC, CNN, Al Jazeera, and
yeah, we just about had the whole world that was watching this.
Yes.
In fact, if you tuned in anywhere in the UK and the USA and parts of Europe, they were playing this thing. Oscar Pistorius was a real celeb at the time, obviously.
Yes, 100%.
So everyone wanted to get a bit of this action, and so did you.
Yes, I did.
Are you a video? Would you do video photography or still?
I specialize on still, but on that trial, I was doing video for a multimedia platform for independent newspaper. Yes.
Okay, so on the 14th of March 2014, which is the day we're going to talk about, I can't believe it's more than 3 years ago. You were traveling from Joburg on the Gautrain to Pretoria.
100%.
To cover the event and to check out your footage and
my
all
footage,
the rest.
Footage, yes.
You work closely with Pretoria News in Pretoria because it's one also an independent.
It's also our sister paper. Yes. So I was going basically. First, when you arrive in Pretoria, we'd go to Pretoria News. That's where we'll actually discuss on how are we going to work for the day. And on that day, I was going to Pretoria News to just sort out my video footages and make sure that everything is in order. Since as well, it was on Friday, it was the weekend, the beginning of the weekend. So, looking forward to the following week and stuff like that.
What do you carry with you? You carry a bag with heavy video equipment or?
I will just actually explain both, like for video camera and a still cameras. So, but on that day, I had a video camera with me, and I was not using a camera bag. I was using a bag, a very nice fancy bag. It looked very nice. So it was just because I wanted to use that, not the camera bag. Because sometimes when you walk on the street, people can actually notice that actually this bag is different. Maybe it's the video that they use to carry equipment. Mm. So on that day, I had a bag, small bag.
Do you guys ever get robbed? Do people ever try and snatch your camera equipment if they know there's camera equipment in it? Very valuable stuff.
It does happen with other people. Like, for instance, I have like colleagues from other publications that were robbed previously. Some, they are studying photography, they were robbed previously. But for me, it never happened that I was robbed. But I know that I had to be street smart. Like, sometimes I will change bags. That's why on that day I changed the bag, and then from there I was using a normal bag that anyone walking on the street can use it. So, But unfortunately, that bag is the very same bag that actually attracted the police on that day.
Yeah, so what did happen with the police? Or you didn't know they were police, did you? Some people walked up to you. Who was it?
For me, judging from the incident when it happened, for me, I thought that actually I'm being robbed. Mm. You understand? Because number one, the way they approached me, two, the fact that they were not wearing a uniform, police uniform, they were wearing plain clothes.
How many people approached you?
It was
initially.
Initially, it was two women. Dressed plain clothes.
Where was this in relation to the court? Was it at the court or near the court or on the way, a bit away from the court?
It was at Kona, Visakhi and Paul Kruger in town. Because I was walking from the Gautrain to Pretoria.
So you weren't at the court yet?
No, I was still walking to the court.
Okay, so you were approached by two women in plain clothes.
Yes.
And what did they say?
Firstly, they said, They just actually script the word search. You understand? They said like search, and then from there, I was shocked, like the way they approached, and then searched, and then as I was shocked, trying to find out actually search for what, and then the other woman grabbed my arm. You understand? So, judging from the fact that it's a woman grabbing my arm, and judging the fact that I'm a man, I can still fight not to be grabbed by a woman like that. So, and then from there...
You know, the law is that a female cannot search a male and vice versa.
Yes, I know that.
It's got to be same sex.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. So here came two women that said, search, what is this? Who are these people? The first thought is it can't be police because they would know the rules.
Exactly.
They're probably trying to grab something or your bag or something.
Yeah, they grabbed my wrist. And on top of that, for me thinking that I have a camera, and my camera was still new at that time.
Yeah.
So I realized that actually here it's either I'm being robbed or something like that. They're trying to rob me. So I refused to be searched. Firstly, I said, like, before you could search me, you need to identify yourself. You understand? Who are you? Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. They said, no, we don't want to search. You want to search your bag. But I said, like, even if you want to search my bag, you need to identify yourself, which is they failed to do so. Mm-hmm. And while I was actually...
They didn't say they police.
No, they did. Yeah. They said we are police. But for me, I needed that identity.
Absolutely.
Show me like something that will convince me that you are a police, which is they didn't. Mm. And because for me, with that woman who tried to grab my arm, and then from there I had to like actually use my strength like to push her away from me, which is during that actually that process, one woman pulled out the gun. And for me, I wanted to run away because I thought that they are robbing me. Mm. But looking at that woman who's pulling the gun, I realized that actually it's a flywheel gun. So she don't need to breach before she could shoot. She can shoot immediately. So for me, I had to think about a lot of things. I was like, hey, I still have a small child. Like,
you had just become a father.
Exactly. My child was not even 2 weeks. So I realized that, hey,
now be careful.
I need to be careful. It's either I'm going to be shot dead or paralyzed. And so there were a lot of things I had to think on my feet, which is I did. That's why I didn't run away. So I was like, okay. And then after that, they called for backup because they realized that actually now I'm no longer resisting the search or whatsoever because after they've pointed the gun on me. Yeah. So, and then from there, they called for backup, which it was two guys. Yeah. They came, they didn't talk a lot.
Were they in uniform?
No, they were plain clothes.
Also plain clothes?
All of them. Four of them, they were in plain clothes. Those two women who tried to search me and those two guys who were called for backup.
Did they identify themselves as police as well?
They didn't. They said like, realizing the situation that actually the only way to get out is to show them my press card, which is I did. But even though they said, yeah, that is why you don't want to be arrested just because you journalists, you think you're clever, you don't want to be arrested or you want to be searched. So they were actually saying a lot of things. You don't want to be arrested. You don't want to be searched.
But what did they want from you?
For me, as they call the backup.
I mean, they've got to have a reason. The law is you've got to have a reasonable suspicion if you're the police.
For me.
To search somebody. I mean,
yes.
He has a pedestrian walking along. Why? Why you?
For me, I cannot tell why. But for me, I think, judging from their statement, number one, after I said, okay, it's fine, you can go ahead, since as well, they pointed the gun on me, you understand? So one, they asked for, like, why you don't want to be searched on your back? Do you have drugs? Two, they asked me, do you have an asylum and stuff like that? So judging from their statements, I just realized that actually they are saying this just because maybe they thought maybe I'm a foreigner, because you cannot ask someone who's not a foreigner an asylum. You understand,
but even so, they can't just stop someone and ask them.
Exactly. So
there's no reason to. You are South African, as it happens, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. I am a South African.
Yeah.
Maybe they did so because I'm a dark skin person. Maybe
you're not darker than me.
So I don't know.
You're darker than me. Yeah?
You're the exception.
So yeah. So, and then as they called for backup, this guy didn't want to talk a lot. Firstly, they grabbed me by my pants and they pepper spray me.
What?
Like, yeah, they pepper spray me direct into my eyes. Do you remember the trending video of that doom, the pastor?
Oh, yes.
The doom pastor.
So you were doomed with a pepper spray.
So they were like, oh, shh. I was like, oh my gosh, today I'm a cockroach.
How did it feel? Did it burn your eyes?
It was so bad. Because my eyes were...
called a cockroach.
That's what they do in the political scene.
So... my eyes were like itchy, very, very, very bad. Like as we were walking from that scene, Paul Kruger and Visage, because they had to walk me to the police station. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. My eyes were itchy. I was crying, and because I was a public humiliation.
Yeah, I mean, people saw you. Obviously,
I was surprised because no one recorded a video. Because after the incident, like a week after, I came because I needed as much evidence as I could get.
Yes.
But I didn't get any. No one recorded the video. Even the guy was selling at that corner on that street. Right. He told me that, actually, I remember seeing you being pepper sprayed.
You remembered the cockroach.
Yes. But I don't have anything for evidence. Yeah, I understand.
So, did they handcuff you as well?
They handcuffed me. They pepper spray me. They pull me by my pants, which is the with my jean, like my pants. Mm. So, which is they pull it up to towards my ribs, mm. and then from there it was that pant was hitting my manhood.
Oh.
So it was so terrible. It was so I was crying and I was like, why is it happening to me? Like, why is the sun going down on me?
from nothing, from nowhere.
From nothing, and yeah. I haven't done anything, or maybe stolen anything or whatsoever. So it was so bad.
So when you go to the police station, what took place? Did they try to interrogate you? What was in the bag? Where are you going? Who you are and all those things?
They tried by, at that time I had called for backup. I remember the first person I called on that day, because I have a brother in this industry, but we have got same surname, so he works for Reuters. So I called the first person I called Pio Sibego, which is at that day I thought maybe he's at the trial, but he wasn't present. So he phoned my boss then, and then my boss said that he spread the word. He phoned the picture editor for Pretoria News, which is they came to the police station. So I had like more people, like more support, which is the intimidation was less at that time. Oh. My boss also called the company lawyer from Weber Wenzel. Yeah, Weber Wenzel. And then from there, they came. And then is the one guy who assisted me to actually not spend the weekend at the police.
They wanted to detain you for the whole weekend.
Yes, that's what they wanted to do.
It's frightening. It's frightening.
But they said,
I mean, to be locked up with whatever, with murderers and rapists and all the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't want. In such an extent, we had to agree on their statement was, I should agree that actually there was a confusion between me and the police, and the matter has been resolved amicably. So I had to sign that, knowing exactly that actually there was nothing. The police, they are the one that attacked me.
Did you, when you signed the document, was your lawyer present?
And my lawyer
agreed to the content of what was written. Before?
Yes, my lawyer was present, and on top of that, he had to confirm with his senior that actually this is a situation. So his senior advised him that actually the best way that you can do now is to make sure that Dumsan is slept at home this Friday afternoon. So we had to agree on the matter was resolved amicably, even though I knew exactly that actually there were no confusion. I was attacked.
Well, basically what you signed was signed under duress. You were forced to sign
it.
They said, if you don't sign this document,
spend the weekend.
You're going to spend the weekend there. I think any lawyer would advise you, sign the darn thing, get released, and we'll cry duress afterwards.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, what you did.
Yeah.
What they made you sign is a document saying you will not hold the police liable, you will not sue anyone, you won't do anything.
Yes.
All's forgiven, and just let me go.
Exactly.
That's what they forced you to sign.
Yes.
Yeah. Was this a document that was printed, or was it written? Did they write it out? Do you remember? Or do they have these documents lying around?
It was a document that has a police logo and stuff like that. So I had to, they had to write the statement, and then I had to put my signature, and the lawyer had to put the signature.
Now, the four cops that had assaulted you and whatever, were they there when all this was happening, when you signed?
Yes, they were.
They were watching this?
They were watching this. And
what did they say? I mean, what was the excuse at the time? What did they tell anybody for having arrested you and wanted to search you? What was the reasoning behind all this?
So, one, they said that they want to be searched, and then I took advantage of the women, just because they are the one that actually requested to search me. So that is why they want to be searched, and it was totally different from that. And as they were planning to write a statement, which is my representative said, no, you can't actually write a statement together. Each and every person must write his or her statement individually
separately.
Or separately.
Yeah. Conflict of interest.
Exactly. Yeah. So in that instance, also they said we they mention things that we've got, like attitude or whatever. So they see me spending weekend in jail or police cell.
Yeah, it's frightening, Lance, to think that these things actually happen.
No, they actually do. And what is so frightening is that we are actually seeing this more and more often, especially around Pretoria. Sunnyside Police Station is actually notorious for doing this because they seem to be raising capital or money for themselves. Once they arrest you, especially during month-end period, you will see quite a lot of number of people actually being detained for the period of weekends. And now political parties actually are aware of this because people have been complaining. Yeah. And it's quite sad. It's very sad because it's traumatic, first and foremost. Secondly, it's humiliation that you have to go through. Thirdly, you feel powerless because this is the people who are supposed to protect you. And now they are taking advantage of that.
Of course.
Dumisani, you landed up at the MediClinic in Arcadia.
Yes.
How long after the after you were the released?
Yeah. I think I went there in the afternoon because I spent like, I left the police station around about 2:15 to 2:30.
So you were in police cells what for a few hours?
Yeah, like from maybe 11:30 until.
Were you alone there, or were there others in the cell with you?
Actually, for me, they didn't place me into the cell because I had a representative. So we were trying to secure that. Actually, they let me go.
Yeah.
So that's why. But after that, I went straight to the hospital. I think it was MoMed Hospital.
MoMed.
So I went there to check everything. I went to an emergency, and then from there they took me for tests. I did everything.
There were apparently a lot of bruises all over your private parts, your wrists, your hands, your eyes.
Your eyes, yes.
Something frightening that I saw, that you also complained that you urinated blood.
Yes,
because
I
of them pulling your pants so tight that it squeezed your manhood. Yeah.
Yes. Mm.
You actually urinated blood as a result of this.
Yeah, on Saturday morning, that's when like I noticed that actually I'm urinating blood.
This is actually brutal what they did to you. It
was so bad. In my life, I was never, ever, ever humiliated like the way they did to me on that day. So I was angry for some time. Like, I was very, very angry.
Did you lose your work's day on that particular day? Did they really have to compensate you for the work that you actually lost because you were actually on duty going to work and now you couldn't actually perform your duties as a result of the attack?
Everything was lost because I couldn't go to work on that day. So I think I left Pretoria around about because I had to catch the last train, the Gau train. So I left Pretoria very late because even the test, I had to do all the tests. Thanks God I had medical aid. So I managed to do everything for everything.
And very fortunately, your employer got hold of a firm of attorneys to help secure your release. More than likely, without them, you would have sat the whole weekend.
Yes.
With bleeding and bruising and all the rest.
Yes.
So there's a lot that assisted you here. Most people don't have that kind of assistance.
They don't have that privilege of accessing such, because for me, I was able to access the representative.
Yeah.
I was able to go to a private hospital to do all the tests, the necessary tests that I can use moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was. I consider myself as blessed, you know, because I was able to have all those.
Yeah,
those
you
things.
Landed up. I think your employer said, "Listen, you can sue the police here," and you knew that as well.
Yes, I knew very
well. But you were probably a bit worried about the disclaimer or whatever it was that you gave them, the police, saying that you wouldn't sue them or you wouldn't take on anything. Most people would probably walk away and say, well, I signed it, I'm in trouble. But you had the guts to go to an attorney and say, listen, notwithstanding that I signed this, I want to sue. You went to another attorney, not the one that got your release for you.
Yes, the one that got the release for me, they were saying actually it's, judging from my case, it's going to be like I will be fighting a losing battle because I will spend the very same amount that I will ask for to pay the legal fees. Yes.
Mm.
So, and then from the bad, I didn't give up.
Yeah.
So, because one of my colleagues from Pretoria News, my former colleague, Zelda, She advised
Zelda,
me.
Zelda Painter.
Yes.
She's a great journalist. She's been doing court reporting for as long as I can remember.
Yes.
She gets all the, she gets the plum stories. She writes them brilliantly. Compliments to you, Zelda. Please tell her to listen to the podcast, will you?
Yeah. I will. Yeah. So she introduced me to Konrad Röntgen.
Yes.
From Röntgen Attorneys.
Yes.
So, which is like, when I explained my story to Mr. Röntgen, I think Zelda also did something like by explaining a few things. And then from the Röntgen, Mr. Röntgen realized that actually there is a case against the police or the Minister of Police.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, he said like, let's take them on.
So Mr. Röntgen sent me a copy of the summons.
Yeah.
It says in the summons, the arrest of the plaintiff, which is you, was unlawful and without justification. He sued the Minister of Safety and Security. He said the police officers acted within the scope of their duties. He goes on to say that you were defamed in your good name and dignity and reputation, which is so, when you were frog marched to the police station handcuffed. He says as well that you were deprived of your freedom for 4 hours and you were defamed, as I said. Then also that you had medical expenses. Fortunately, it wasn't much because medical aid covered most.
Yes.
153 Rand. What he claimed for you was 100,000 for deprivation of your freedom, 100,000 for your being defamed in your good name.
Yeah.
And the rest was the medical. So in total, your claim was 200,000.
Yes.
And 153 Rand. Yeah.
Yes.
And costs.
And costs. Okay.
Now, the police got the summons, and obviously the first thing they do is defend these things, which they did. And they filed a plea. Afterwards, they filed an amended plea. And what they say is the following. They say that you refused to identify yourself.
How?
And other police officials came and identified themselves as police reservists, but you refused to be searched. Uh-huh. They say they handcuffed you and took you to the police station to search you. I don't know what they were looking for goodness sake.
And, God knows.
Yeah. And they say that they did nothing wrong. That was in their plea. So eventually you got to court on this one.
Yes.
And you went into court and you gave evidence.
Yes, I gave evidence.
It was a full-blown trial, this. You had, was Conrad there?
Yes, he was my representative.
And the police had the state attorney?
Yes, which is, they never appeared even a single appearance on the, yeah.
Did you give evidence in court?
Yes, I did, because when they had to settle the bill, and then from there they had to ask me that actually am I still urinating blood and stuff like that. I was like, no, I'm fine. I believe I'm fine. That's what.
Yeah. But did you go test and see if there are no further infections?
Yeah, no, I did. Oh, okay. So I did a follow-up check and stuff like that. So yeah, I believe I'm fine.
Okay, so the good news.
Yeah.
There's always some good news for you. The good news is that you succeeded with your part of your claim.
Yes, I did.
Did the magistrate make the award, or did the police settle with you? How did the amount come about?
The police, I think they came to say, you know what, we can pay so much.
Yeah.
I think it was a counter offer. I'm not sure when I'm putting it right. Mm-hmm. They made a counter offer and said, like, okay, we can settle this amount, because they came to say,
what did they offer you initially up front?
Up front, they say they're offering 30,000 rand. And then the magistrate, I think, said no. And then the final judgment was, please pay Mr. Sebego 50,000 rand. That was the settlement from the police. But their counter offer was 30,000. That's what they came to offer on the table.
Ultimately, your award or your settlement was 50,000 plus costs.
Plus costs.
So it cost the taxpayer, 50,000 plus all the costs, legal
fees. Plus all the legal fees, yes.
Yeah. Lines, how do you feel about the award or the pay?
I really think it doesn't really justify the amount of brutality you had to go through and the humiliation. Really, 50,000, it's too little. And considering that he didn't actually have to work for that particular day, and photographer, most of them are actually freelancers. So at the end of the day, he must have lost something.
How did you feel about the 50,000? It wasn't commensurate with what you suffered, was it?
Yes, I know very well that actually I was expecting more. in terms of the settlement. But the magistrate argument was like, didn't spend the whole weekend in jail and stuff like that. At least I was given my freedom back. Which
In our country, the awards are very small. In America, this would be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
If you're going to get arrested next time, go to the US and get arrested.
Yeah. So, but for me, I was happy that actually I managed to sue the police or the Minister of Police. And also, the fact that I was arrested without doing anything. And I think something actually happened to those police who like...
Well, that's the important thing.
Yes. For me, it was actually, I wanted to teach them a lesson. Yes,
absolutely.
A lesson that actually, you know what?
Yeah, Zulu boys have got guts, eh?
Just like you, Mr. Kerry. Just like you.
So, yeah, at least I...
The president's Zulu.
I taught them a lesson. I don't know where they are with their lives and whatsoever, but they know, I think they know that there's someone called Dumisane who fought back.
But I think it also speaks to the training, and most people are actually hired, but they tend to forget what they're hired for, and as a result they tend to think that they're above the law, so which then speaks to power, because sometimes people, when they're in a position of power, they tend to really abuse the power.
The police have got to have a valid reason to search you or your possessions. They can't just walk up to anyone and say I want to search you. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's against the constitution, your rights to privacy and all the rest. How dare they?
But let's just be also practical. When such incidents happen, please comply, because you don't really want to find yourself in another situation where you have to be going through litigation or anything of that nature. Rather complain afterwards, but try not to really aggravate the situation from getting out of hand.
Do me, if it happened to you again, would you deal with it differently? Would you have said, okay, search me, I don't know who you are, but would you?
For me, I always stick for my right. If you want to come search me, you should identify yourself before you could do that. Whether it happens after I leave this studio or it happens tomorrow, whatever, I'll always stand for my right. That actually you cannot just come and say, because we are living in our country, crime is very, very high. So I cannot just like actually let people search me and not knowing who are those people. So for me, I would actually, even in future, I would always ask, please identify yourself and let me see, and I would let you do so. But I have an experience with this kind of the same police doing the conducting searches. One day I was in Fortsburg, and then from there, trying to withdraw money in one of the ATM. So when I was there, the guys actually came, approached me, like, because I went there to, actually I was there to withdraw money, but I didn't withdraw the money because the queue was long. I decided to go. Maybe in their mind they thought that actually, hey, he has money now. So they approached me. They said, police, police. And then from there they said, police, this is a suspect. They called me a suspect. And then I was like, suspect for what? Just because I'm a person who's been working for media houses, like a newspaper. So I know we've got like stories that we've covered, very horrific stories about people being robbed by people who pose to themselves as police. So those guys, they had like a identification card that had a police logo and their pictures on that. And they were not police. And I ran away. So for me, I don't know what would have happened to me on that day, but I ran away on that day because I knew very well that I'm not a suspect. I haven't done anything. And I told them, I said, hey, I work for the Star. I showed them, because I always carry my press card with me. So I'll say, hey, I work for the Star. So that is why they decided to back off a little bit. And then from there, I ran away. I said, like, if you want to arrest me, come to my complex. I told them the complex number, but I ran away.
But at least you did assess the situation, because some people are not fortunate enough. I mean, there was one famous musician was actually shot like 9 times. But likely he's still alive today because of form of identification.
Yes.
In most cases, when such things happen, you just need to really assess the situation if you really feel that.
And see what works better for you.
Exactly. Yes. But in most cases, rather not fight.
Okay, you've been listening to the story of Dumisane Sebeko, He's a photographer. You're still a photographer, aren't you?
Yes, I am a photographer, yeah. But I'm no longer a photographer for independent newspapers. So I freelance. I'm a freelance photographer. Cool.
Thank you for coming through. You've came from far, and we appreciate it very much. To tell the story, we learn from these stories. We learn what our rights are, how you can and how you can't handle yourself. Yeah. You stood your ground. Lionel says just cooperate. I don't know what the answer is.
The answer lies in between, because you need to assess the situation.
I think when you say you need to assess the situation, yes. But if you strongly believe that, hey, I'm right, and then from there, stand for it.
Cool. Dumasani Sibeko, thank you very much for coming through, and good luck. We'll talk to you again. We're going to break for a moment. Before we break, just to let you know that we're going to be talking about, a rare genetic disorder known as Prader-Willi syndrome, and that's going to come up right after the break. We'll be right back.
This is CliffCentral.com.